And you told me the Psalm 148, the last five words, the last five words of verse 8, stormy wind fulfilling his word. The last verse. He also exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Will you turn with me to the book of the Acts? The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now will you come with me, will you bear with me, dear brethren, and turn to Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 17. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want another two words. Will you turn with me to the Epistle of Jude? The last verse. Of the Epistle to Jude, verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. We have been privileged these last days to sit under ministry, which, to say the very least, is choice. To say the very least is choice. We are very privileged that we have in our hands the word of God, God's word. We also have in this late day the privilege of being united together, gathering together in a wonderful circle, the circle of the saints. We have another thing for which we must be very grateful to God. We have amongst us, at the close of this wonderful dispensation, those amongst us who can divide, and rightly divide, the truth of our God. We are grateful to God and to our elders. We have been considering together this wonderful movement, and there never was in the history of this world a movement like the movement we have been considering together. I had to refer to an ocean-going seaman to get something of the gist of this great movement. I was asking him about the movement of a cyclone. The cyclone moves west, turns and moves east and dissipates. That's the movements of a cyclone. In the book of the Acts, we have that cyclone. Beginning in chapter 2, moving through the Acts, moving in speed and in evolution, or revolution would be the word, chapter 18 and 19, dissipating. The Euphladon, the northeast wind, and professing system breaking in the storm. The stormy wind fulfilling his word. I read that last verse in Psalm 148, where inanimate and animate creation praises God, and the nearest circle is the circle of his saints. Are his people. They could not nearer be. We have traced this movement in our readings, beginning at Jerusalem, moving to Corinth, passing into Ephesus, turning into Colossae, reaching the metropolis of then world, the then world, Rome. A mighty rushing wind fulfilling. It began in a house. It ended covering the whole globe. Covering the whole globe. The brother told me, in the Antarctic wastes, with the great spectacular beauty of Antarctica, the sound of the gospel passing through the air, coming to the remotest bounds of the earth, covering the whole globe. This is what God has in mind. We are in the happy position. We can look back and we stand on the threshold at the close. We're in the cyclone, but we're in the eye of the cyclone. We're in the eye. And if you get out of the eye, you'll be in the turbulence. You will. You'll be in the turbulence of the cyclone. You will. And in the eye, you'll go home. Like Elijah of old in the wilderness. Stormy wind. fulfilling his word. Beginning at Jerusalem, beginning in a house, going out, shall we follow it a little? Corinth, seat of commerce, a big city, and God moving to Corinth in the power of his spirit by his servant, and a city, the byword of which was licentiousness. God turned it in the power of the gospel. He did. He did indeed. Worshippers of an idol. The idol came down. And Christianity moved in. Or Christianity moved in and the idol went down. And we have been studying one of the beautiful letters written to Corinth. Beautiful letter. A local assembly was formed there. Local conditions, local instructions, local blessing was the result. Ephesus. Not so much a licentious city, an idolatrous city. Idolatrous city. A great idol. They tell us it was 426 feet high. It was 200 feet broad. And it was garnished for 200 years, so they tell us. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. But you know, like the ark in the house of Dagon of old, Dagon came down. All we have now, we have in our hands one of the most beautiful, glorious letters ever written under the canopy of heaven to the Ephesians. And an idolatrous statue, which was the worship of the then known civilized world, God was pleased to move in and give the truth of the body of Christ. A body which eventually would express him universally and would be for his praise eternally. Would be for his praise eternally. Colossae. Colossae too was a great city. It also lies in ruins. Colossus of Rhodes has come down, but the letter to Colossae remains. And the beauty, the moral teaching that lies in it, has charmed God's people for almost 20 centuries. 20 centuries. Rome. The jackboot of militant Rome. God was pleased to move into Rome. And in 3 centuries, the monarch on the throne was converted. And his mother garnished the ruins of Jerusalem and has left them for us as a witness to the mighty mercy and goodness of our God. We need not speak of Jerusalem. The Lord is there. It's his city. It's the city of the great king. It's the city of Jehovah. And there emblazoned outside his walls for divine glory and the blessing of mankind for time and for eternity. Rome, as has been said this afternoon, we have the individual witness. But I am convinced, you can put it on the anvil, I am convinced also you've got the international witness. 35 individuals are mentioned in the closing chapter, and they are drawn from every section almost of humanity. And we mentioned verse 1. A woman heads the list. A woman who had been a plaything, treated as goods and chattels in the ancient world, had been raised to a status she had never known before. And God has placed her first. And there are 8 of them in these 35 mentioned. And there are 3 in one verse. And Christianity has given you a status which nothing else in this wide world in time has ever given you. And it's Christianity that has given it to you. Corinth, as we have said, is the local expression of the body. Colossae is the moral expression of the body. And at the end of that chapter, there are 10 individuals mentioned. And you'll find that the features that mark the men who are there are going right on to the end. The moral expression of the body of Christ will be here until the close. And I see it on the strength of one verse. Salute Laodicea, and that's where we are. And then pass. That's the one for whom we're waiting, the bridegroom, Nymphas. And the church which is in his house. We are waiting for the bridegroom. So the wind, the stormy wind, has carved a way out in this world. It has turned this world upside down. There are those who were in the turbulence of the cyclone. God is pleased to keep his people in the eye. You know, in the cyclone, if you get in the center, get in the eye, you're clear of the turbulence. If you get out of the eye, now you're in trouble. Ask the mariner about it. Get out of the eye and you're in trouble. And when the saints go, in the vacuum that's left, there will be a turbulence in this world which has never been known before. And I say, on the authority of what our blessed Lord says in Job, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. How good is our God? He is, he was, he ever shall be absolutely supreme. Absolutely supreme. A man may go round the moon, but I'll tell you this. He never told you anything that God hasn't told you in his word. He has not. What that man said was, we have the best side. And God said it. It was very good. He hasn't told us anything that God hasn't told us. He is absolutely supreme in his universe. You read that psalm, step by step, verse by verse, word by word, and you will see God will reach his end in creation at the close. Now unto the King, eternal, He is not governed. He is not limited. He isn't bounded by time. He is eternal. Now to the King Eternal, immortal. He doesn't draw and fade. He remains absolutely the same, immortal, invisible. He cannot be seen in what he is, essentially. He dwelleth in light unapproachable. But beloved brethren, he hasn't left us in the dark. He has given us a revelation. He is invisible. He has seen me. Our blessed Lord can say, not only has seen God and is God in his universe, but he has seen him in the most intimate, blessed, precious, eternal circle in which he can be known. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible. Mr. Darby has left out the word wise. He is all wise, but there is only one God. Only one. Man may set up things which represent God to them, but in this world, in this universe in which we live, there is one God. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. And we would give him this. This is what I would like to reach. But myself and with you all, belong to our God. Honor and majesty are before him. He won't flinch from it. He won't depart from it. He won't deflect from it. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And I wanted these other two words. How easy in a world like this, in these closing days, when the reason is falling upon the eyes of men, those who have rejected, set aside this wonderful movement of God, which has carved out in this world the most blessed thing that ever was seen. It has raised up the best, the most powerful, the most enterprising men and women who ever lived. The epitaph in one of the magazines, when David Livingstone died, were these words: "Let marble tremble, this is Livingstone." Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only God, the honor. And as man is aspiring to the sky, yet strange to say, groveling in the earth. That is a love. Honor and majesty, might and wisdom, we ascribe to him. Wonderful word, God. So, dear brethren, I said that. God will reach his end when he makes bare his arm. Who shall his work withstand? God is his own interpreter. God. can meet every situation in certain by spirit.